Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the San Diego Lincoln Financial Media radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. When it comes to recycling electronics, there are many companies we can turn to. Second Wave Recycling is an environmentally and socially responsible company that recycles electronic devices, which in turn benefit nonprofit organizations both here and around the country. Joining us this morning to talk about how their recycling efforts benefit others and why it's important to recycle your electronics is Second Wave Recycling co-founder Ryan Rubel and Byrne Institute Executive Director Susan Day. The Byrne Institute is one of the many nonprofits that has partnered with Second Wave Recycling. Ryan, Susan, welcome.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Gary.
Nice to have you on the show. I this is something that I don't do that often, step outside the box here on Living Better in San Diego. For the most part, we feature nonprofit organizations, but Ryan, Second Wave Recycling is not a nonprofit, but I wanted you on the show because I think recycling is very important, something we really need to talk about. And also, you do a lot of work with nonprofit groups.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we definitely do, and we really appreciate you having us on your show. Even though we are for-profit, we definitely work with a large number of nonprofits as well as other organizations that are basically out there to help the greater good, whether it's, you know, locally or nationally, different nonprofits out there.
And one of those nonprofits is the Byrne Institute, which Susan is with, and we'll talk to Susan in just a little bit about the Byrne Institute and what you guys are doing together. But how about a little background info on Second Wave Recycling?
Yeah, Second Wave was started. It's a family-run operation that was founded by my brother and sister and myself. We actually both all have backgrounds, or my brother and I have backgrounds in the recycling business. He was more on the electronic side. I was on the ship recycling side. So we kind of got together. This was about 3 years ago. And we thought there could be a better way to not only recycle electronics, in particular phones and handheld devices, but also help out a lot of different great nonprofits out there. And we had a few friends who were running nonprofits at the time. So we thought it would be a great way to do that. And, you know, ship recycling is a little messy. So we opted for the electronic side, which, you know, not a lot of people know about. And, you know, it's just a really great way to kind of help out both sides, the environment and the nonprofit side.
And are you guys just here in San Diego?
Yeah, we're headquartered in San Diego, but we have account managers throughout the United States. The account managers outside this area work on other organizations, let's say on the East Coast, in the South and whatnot.
How many phones do you think you recycle each year?
We're right now sitting at about 30,000 phones.
Wow.
You know, it keeps on increasing each month. We keep on getting more. It's funny, when we first started, we were excited to get, I think the count was, in 1 month when we first started, it was like 60 phones. And I was ecstatic. I thought it was the best
the
thing.
Jackpot.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was so excited. You know, I called one of the bulk buyers out there, and I basically told them, like, hey, I have a bunch of phones for you. And they were like, how many do you have? And I'm like, I have like 60 phones. And they were like, call me back later when you have more. So, but now, yeah, we're getting, you know, on average around, 3,000 to 4,000 phones per month.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, it's really exciting to kind of see that growth in a few years.
Now, is it just phones that you recycle? I know you mentioned handheld electronics, but do you recycle other electronic equipment?
Yeah, we mainly do handheld. So it's basically phones, tablets, iPods. You know, a lot of times, you know, people will send in other accessories, but we really want the core focuses on phones because that's what holds value. And we tell people, like, if they have chargers or booklets or whatever else, you can really recycle those locally, whether it's at a big box store or just through your local municipality. But yeah, it's pretty much, all handheld devices.
And, you know, our society, the way we are right now, so high tech, I would imagine that e-waste is on the rise, but could the recycling efforts could be better.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely could be better. I mean, it's incredible that, you know, but only about 13% of phones or handsets are actually recycled. So that means there's about 140 million phones per year that are being dumped, you know, thrown into landfills, which is really bad because cell phones have a lot of toxic chemicals in them. And, you know, the awareness is getting there, but it's not where it really should be. I mean, it amazes me even now as, you know, I'm living and breathing this every single day. And it's, you know, I love doing this, obviously. It's a labor of love. But, you know, it's amazing to see, like, even now when I talk to, you know, just random people or friends or whoever else, they're like, gosh, I didn't even know you could recycle them. Even though you see ads out there or whatever else, it's pretty incredible. But it is a problem that we have to address.
I'm to blame. I think I've got 3 or 4 sitting in my closet.
I think everyone does. I mean, before I started this, I had 3 or 4 sitting in a drawer, you know, the old razors or whatever else. And, you know, it's amazing because we get people recycling. It's like we get even the old cell phones that you know, looks like a little briefcase that you take. The original car phones.
And I had one of those.
Yeah. And some of those are collector's items, and we actually keep those, and we don't, you know, recycle those or whatnot.
So what do you do with the phones when you get them? Are they refurbished? Do you use them for parts?
Yeah, it really depends. You know, they come in, and they go through a triage where we separate them out. So whether it's a some of the phones are very old, unusable on today's networks, so those will be recycled. So basically they'll be processed and sent to a large recycler where they basically shred everything up and separate out the parts, whether it's the plastics, gold, silver, whatever else. And then it just gets repurposed back into the marketplace, you know, rebuilding new cell phones or whatever else. The newer ones, though, there's a lot of life in them, even the simple, like, flip phones. You know, we basically fix those up, and even the high-end phones, obviously the high-end phones and the flip phones, but we fix them up, and we resell those. And then a portion of the proceeds goes back to the nonprofits that we work with. And that's how we, you know, that's how we support the nonprofits and other organizations that we support.
Now, if somebody wants to donate a phone, I would assume there are certain things they need to do first before they send them to you to protect their identity and such?
Yeah, you know, it's a big concern. And I mean, I answer this question all the time on a daily basis, I think. You know, we always get emails, people always asking, you know, how do I erase data, or how do I, you know, clear out all this content? Because there's, you know, there's a lot of personal information on, you know, handset devices. And, you know, a lot of people send them in and they don't really, they're not concerned about it. But, you know, we tell people, you know what, we erase data when the phones get into us. Mm-hmm. If we're going to resell them, everything's erased. If it goes to the recycling, shred it up, the shredder's going to take care of the data. But we tell people, just for your satisfaction, just to feel good that everything's off your phone, whether it's, you know, bank account numbers, photos, you know, whatever it is, contacts, you know, we tell them to either go through, we work with them, whether they give us the make and model, and we kind of tell them how to do it. And it's usually really simple. You know, there's always like a settings option on the phone where you can go through and erase all data. A lot of phones do have SIM cards and SD cards, which hold all the memory. So we tell them to pop those out and hold on to those, because, you know, that's where a lot of the sensitive data sits. But yeah, you know, we just make sure, you know, they feel comfortable about them sending in phones to us and knowing that we're not going to go out and, you know, release their personal data. You know, I mean, it's definitely probably the biggest concern that we deal with.
I would think,
yeah, exactly.
Now, to donate a phone, it's basically done online at your website?
Yeah. At secondwaverecycling.com, you have a couple different options. So you can either go to our website and you go to our donate page, and you can either print out a postage paid label. Everything's free. So for you to donate a phone, you print off a postage paid label, or request a mailer. So it's a USPS prepaid mailer. We send it out to you. It's a biodegradable mailer, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So we made sure we were going to do that when we produce these custom-made mailers. So they send in the phones to us, and then, you know, we process them from there. We also work with, you know, like the Burn Institute, where we work with different nonprofits where they do have their own fundraisers. So you can also set up a fundraiser through us. And then a lot of times what they do is they collect phones at their offices or at events or whatnot, and then they'll just package it up. We'll send them a FedEx label, and then they'll ship it back to us.
Do you find any one particular part of the country sending you more phones than any other?
Yeah, online we definitely see a large majority of phones being donated online coming from, the Midwest, Northeast. It really surprised us when we started this that, you know, a lot from New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Florida. It really blew us away. It took us by surprise. And it's still like that today. You know, it's predominantly out there on the East Coast. And I don't know why. You know, whether it's the population or maybe, you know, we do a lot of ads on the internet. And so maybe the timing's that way where, you know, they're up earlier. I mean, it'd be an interesting study to say the least.
Now you have partnered with a whole bunch of different nonprofits around the country.
Yep.
Can we talk about some of those partnerships? And then we're going to talk with Susan, too, about your partnership with the Burn Institute.
Yeah, you know, we've worked with, you know, a lot of local companies like the Burn Institute or even like the USO here locally. But, yeah, we work with national organizations. One that we actually just wrapped up with was DoSomething.org. It's a organization that has 2.2 million members, and the ages are from 13 to 25. You know, the younger generation really proactive and trying to do something good in this world. And this is one of the things that we worked with Do Something was Cell Phones for Survivors program, which helps support domestic violence programs. It's an amazing program. We did a campaign for them. It lasted 4 months from the beginning of September when school started all the way through December. And it was a fantastic event. We raised over 14,000 phones, over $20,000 to help support that.
Now, you mentioned that you take these phones, you resell them, and then proceeds or portion of the proceeds go to particular organizations. Do the phones at all, do those ever go to any of these organizations themselves, the phones? Or?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we've done that in the past. You know, we've worked with a few military organizations who we actually donated phones to. For example, there was a platoon out of Ohio where we donated a handful of phones. They were going down to Haiti to help support the victims down there during the tragic storm a couple years ago.
Right.
So we definitely sent them phones and things like that. But for the most part, you know, we do. It's mainly just the proceeds. It's a lot easier because a lot of times, you know, sometimes they want the older phones, and sometimes the older phones don't have the newer technology.
Right.
So we'd rather just give them, you know, the proceeds compared to like a phone that doesn't work.
And you do some work. You mentioned the military.
Right.
You have some organizations that you work with there. Now anybody, when they're donating a phone, they can select the organization they want the proceeds to go to?
Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, whether you have, you know, you're working directly with us and you know that, you know, hey, we're going to work with the Burn Institute, which, you know, they're on our website, so you can easily find them and donate directly to them. Or if you have a random cause that you want to support, or even a cause that, you know, maybe you're starting, you know, a fundraiser that you're starting, you can pretty much select any nonprofit organization out there that, you know, deserves funds to help support them.
And the ones that you do have already, how did you come about selecting them?
Yeah, you know, it was pretty much us going, whether we were going out finding these organizations that we felt passionate about, like, you know, when we first started, it was, you know, the military. My brother went to the Naval Academy. He was in the Navy. My dad was in the Navy. So we focused on the military for one when we started this company. And then we just kind of branched out from there. We had friends who, you know, supported education in Africa. And so we worked with a friend of ours and kind of built from there. And then we just kind of started looking at the different organizations out there that we feel passionate about. And that's kind of how we go out and kind of solicit and find organizations to work with that we know that they'll be passionate about, you know, doing something good, recycling, and kind of getting the bigger picture of it. You know, like, hey, I can collect some phones and I can raise X amount of funds for it. And it's a win-win for everyone.
And like you said, people that are donating can also suggest an organization if they want.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can pretty much, we have a section, whether you're requesting a label or an envelope, you can pretty much type in any type of program you want to donate it to.
I see.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then a lot of times people get online, they're like, hey, I work at this organization. How can I get more involved? And then we'll email them, you know, fundraiser packet, contact them, and then start building a relationship from there. You know, whether we, you know, some of our closer partners, like Burn Institute, we do a lot of Facebook and Twitter, and we really kind of build that partnership bigger than just kind of a one-off donation.
Okay. Now, Susan, you are with the Burn Institute. For anybody who may not know what it is that you do there, what is the Burn Institute? What is the mission or goal?
Well, the Burn Institute is a local organization. We've been here since 1972, so we're 40-plus years strong. And our main focus is to help prevent fire and burn injuries and also provide burn survivor support programs. We're local, and we're just delighted to be part of the second wave recycling program because it's a new way for us to reach new donors, to supplement our other fundraising activities, and to continue to provide services to this community.
And how long has this partnership been in effect? I know, I think you said earlier that it's kind of new.
Yeah, it's definitely new. I mean, I believe it's about, I think we started really kind of talking back and forth on how we're going to structure it about a month and a half, maybe two months ago at the most. So it's definitely a new relationship where we're, you know, just kind of seeing what works and what will be really effective in the fundraising efforts.
Yeah, we're really delighted with it because it is new and different, but it's also so easy for donors to support what we're doing. And it's easy enough for us to also send the message out efficiently through like our e-newsletter so that more donors can see the link to the website so they can request a label or a mailer. And, of course, when they designate the Burn Institute, they know that their recycling efforts are benefiting a local organization.
Now, the money that you get from Second Wave, is it earmarked for anything in particular at the Burn Institute?
Well, it'll be all invested into our programs and services that serve San Diego and Imperial counties. And a number of different things that we do include a special camp for young children burn survivors. Mm-hmm. It's called Camp Beyond the Scars, and it's for children ages 5 through 17. They get a week-long program to go to a summer camp that's specifically designed for a burn survivor. Many of these children are severely burned, and they don't feel comfortable going to a traditional camp. But when they hit Camp Beyond the Scars, they're just one of the many other children that are suffering from many of the same issues. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not always external scars, but the internal and emotional healing that's taking place for a young burn survivor. So that's one of our hallmark programs that we're really passionate about, and certainly the dollars raised through Second Wave Recycling would help with those efforts. The children don't pay anything, the families don't pay anything to attend the camp. And along with it just being a ton of fun, you know, with the ropes course and the swimming pool and the arts and crafts and the art and archery and what have you, each of the children attends a daily support group. So they're put into age-appropriate groups, and then they talk about openly about their scars, about the incident, how they feel about themselves, and it has a tremendous effect in giving them more self-esteem, more coping skills as they go on for the next year until camp comes around again, for them to really help feel the self-confidence and thrive in their own skin.
And it must be a pretty good feeling for you guys at Second Wave to know that you're having this kind of an impact on these kids or whoever may be benefiting.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the big things why we started this company was to, at the end of the day, we wanted to feel good about what we're doing. And to hear stories like that, like the proceeds are going to go to help, you know, burn victims and kind of end their recovery process, you know, makes us feel good. I mean, you know, we are for profit, but it's just a good thing to do. I mean, we're recycling, but also we are helping out things that are very important to other people.
Now, do you see the results from what you're getting from a Second Wave?
Well, again, as a new relationship, things are trickling in, but it's just been a very positive relationship. And we'll continue to get more support as we continue to promote this opportunity. You know, we'd love for donors to consider dropping their phones off to our offices or requesting a label online. And in our own community efforts, you know, if you see the Burn Institute out at a health fair or out in the streets or at one of our upcoming events, Please feel free to hand over an unused phone and recycle it, and we'll benefit from that. In fact, we have a couple of events coming up. We have our Firefighter Night at the Padres on April 18th. And if you see some folks from the Burn Institute, hand over your phone, give it to a firefighter. Yeah. They'll turn it over to us.
Newer the better.
And then, of course, we have our Demolition Derby and Fire Expo is on the first day of the San Diego County Fair. That's on June 7th on Saturday. So come by the Demolition Derby and drop off a phone, and we'll get it into Ryan's hands, and he can recycle it. And the Burn Institute will ultimately benefit from that.
Now, do you have events yourself throughout the year?
What we usually do is, like with the Burn Institute, so the nonprofits actually are the ones that are setting up their own events, you know, and then we'll work with them to help support them in their efforts. But we don't personally set on our own particular events, like second wave recycling, like collection event. It's mainly through the nonprofits. And then one of the things that, like Susan was mentioning, and what we try and do is we make things as easy as possible. And that's what kind of one of our business model from the beginning was, one of the aspects was to make it easy. Because a lot of times it gets too confusing, and people are like, I don't want to recycle, or I don't want to do whatever. And, you know, it just gets complicated. So we wanted to make it as simple as possible and make it really easy for the nonprofit or someone giving back to the nonprofit. Just something super simple as far as, you know, just clicking a button here, printing off a label, throwing in, you know, the phone into a box, and it gets shipped to us.
And I think that's a big plus that you have, because as fast-paced as the society is these days, nobody wants to take the time to do things.
That's what I was trying to get at.
We're lazy.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's
we may be chronic recyclers, but we are lazy.
Yeah, and it's amazing because, yeah, we find that a lot. And you know, we set this up, too, is because, you know, we noticed as well with nonprofits, it's like, you know, how many spaghetti feeds can you have? Like, how many, you know, it's like there's a lot of redundant fundraisers out there, and doing something like this is unique. A lot of people haven't done, because, you know, once again, everyone has an extra phone lying around,
right?
And it's just a very simple thing. Whether you stop by, you know, the Burn Institute or just mail it off to us, it all comes in the same spot to help out that organization.
And I think the fact that it is easy, and now that our listeners are hearing how easy it is, maybe we can get some more people to, including myself, donate
you
a couple
my
of
card.
Phones.
Yeah, that's right.
So. Is there a difference between general recycling and e-waste as far as its impact on our environment?
Well, you know, as far as the – yeah, I mean, obviously everything has a big impact, whether you're, you know, just throwing away a plastic bag, which it's great that places like Solana Beach, it's plastic bag-free. I guess that's what they call it. But with as far as e-waste is concerned, electronics in general – make up 70% of the toxins in landfills, which is a staggering amount. And what happens is all electronics out there, whether it's a TV or, you know, or a cell phone, you know, eventually it'll start leaching back into the soil, getting back into the water stream, and polluting our environment. So, you know, it's really important that people understand that it's just not, you know, you know, they throw it away and it just disappears. You know, it has that effect afterwards. And so, you know, and cell phones, just like other electronics, have, you know, they have lead in it. They have, you know, I mean, the batteries are corrosive, you know, and there's only a certain lifespan for those. But the great part is even batteries can be recycled.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people, and even those, you know, the small cell phone batteries, you know, a lot of people just throw them away. And, you know, you should just take that extra time, whether it's sending it to us or anyone else out there, to responsibly recycle.
And keep it out of landfill.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another point to touch on is the responsible side of it, you know, to recycle, but also you make sure you go through the appropriate e-waste provider or recycler. You know, do a little due diligence. We're e-stewards certified, which means we pledge along with other larger corporations, whether it's Sims Recycling to Waste Management, LG, they're all e-steward enterprise members or part of the organization, and everyone pledges to do the right thing environmentally, whether it's processing the phones correctly, to not shipping them overseas, to be pretty much broken up in small villages, plastics burned. It's devastating over there. The photos are horrific. Do your background check, and whether it's, you know, through Second Wave or whoever else, just to make sure they are doing the right thing. We try and be as transparent as possible. You know, we'll answer any question. You know where to find us. But there's recyclers out there that are questionable.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's a lot of people don't know the effects that electronics have on the environment.
Yeah.
They don't think about that.
Yeah, they really don't. I mean, once again, when we started this, families and friends were going around asking people, hey, what do you do with your cell phones? And we would come across certain people that are like, yeah, I just take a hammer to it and bash it up and throw them in the garbage can. And, I think a lot of people still do that.
So, once again, we're just about out of time, but if somebody wants to recycle a phone through Second Wave Recycling, they go to your website. What's that address again?
Yeah, secondwaverecycling.com. You go to our donate page, and once again, you have two options, whether it's requesting a postage-paid label or a postage-paid mailer. And if you do want to start up or work with us and you have a nonprofit, just give us a call, and we'll get right back to you and help you out.
And important steps to protect one's privacy, what do they need to do there before they send it
right.
in to
you? Right. So either take out your memory card, your SD card, your SIM card, whether you're AT&T, T-Mobile, or you just go through the proper steps of going through the settings options to erase your personal data.
Okay. And you're on social media?
Yes. We're on Twitter at my2wave.com, and then we're on Facebook as well.
Susan, any final words from you?
Well, I'd just like to thank Ryan for giving the Byrne Institute the opportunity to try a new and fresh idea for fundraising. As always, organizations are challenged, and we are constantly striving to come up with new ways to support our programs and services, and this is something that we're really very excited about and enjoying it. And so thank you, Ryan, for giving us the opportunity.
Thank you, Susan.
It is a very different and unique way of raising funds.
Right, it definitely is.
And Susan, Byrne Institute website?
ByrneInstitute.org.
Facebook?
Yes, sir. Twitter? You'll find a link to many of the programs that we've talked about if you go to ByrneInstitute.org.
Okay. Ryan and Susan, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Susan, thanks for all the great work at the Byrne Institute. And Ryan, I think you're doing a great job.
I appreciate
over there at Second Wave Recycling.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of Lincoln Financial Media. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from Community Housing Works. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.